Okay. So take out your songbooks and your Bibles. Everybody. So we're going to share three songs tonight, which I had emailed out. And we're going to look at those. We're going to talk about them. And Anthony's going to lead us in those songs. We sing them when we're done with the class part. So look forward to doing that. So before we go any further with that, I hadn't previously asked anyone to lead prayer, so I'll pick on somebody I know that can do it on the spur of the moment. Scott, will you do that? I mentioned this before. I got a lot of great feedback from people on songs that they would like for us to take a look at. We're going to kind of go through those. And I tried to pick three that I thought fit well together. And Anthony helped me on the order that we should do them in. So I take suggestions, right? That was easy. So the first song that we're going to do tonight is 122, and all three of them are out of the Blue Book. So I'd really like for the kids that are able to know what's going on here to pay attention here on this first song especially, but all three would be great. So this first song, 122, which was requested by a very special person, Penny. Everybody's special. You might think if everybody's special, no one's special, but no, that's not true. So this was a song that she liked. And so we're going to take a look at that tonight. So this is Penny's song. So the title of the song, which is God is So Good, the title of the song really says it all, doesn't it? You really have to go any further than just looking at the title. God is so good. So God is good. And I think we understand that. And that's something that really, as kids, we learn right away. And as parents, we try to teach our children immediately in life as they understand anything. So, but there's a word in there that, in that title, in the line of the song, how good is God? How good is God? What's the title of the song? God is so good. That makes a difference. God is so good. Who is God good to? So if you look at the song, you know the words of the song. Who is God good to? Who's God good to? Exactly. He's good to us. The line in the song says, he's so good to me. So if you're singing the song, you're actually singing, God is so good to me. And you really ought to think about that, and you ought to believe in that. All right? And that was actually my next question somebody answered over here. Is he good only to me, or is he good to you also? So he's good to all of us. He's good to all of us. Even people who don't want to act right and behave like they're supposed to, he's good to them too, because as we'll talk about tonight and through the rest of these classes, God gives a way for everybody to be saved. So he's not only just good to those that are acting right, he's good to everybody. Okay, so the song also talks not just about God. Who else does the song talk about? Who else does the song talk about? You can't talk yet. Jesus, okay? The song talks about Jesus. And what does the song say about Jesus? God is so good. Jesus is what? Real, okay? So what does that mean, Jesus is real? So Mason's not here tonight. I was going to kind of imitate him. Is Jesus a legend? Is he a made-up thing? Is he a tall tale? Remember how we repeated to Mason all the time? No. This is real. This is true. Remember, this is a true story? Remember Mason saying that all the time? This is a true story. So, Jesus is real. He's as real as anyone that you've ever known. So the people you know, your mom and your dad, your family, your friends, Jesus is real. Even though you've never actually seen him, he's real. All right, so again, thinking about the song, what did Jesus do for us, or what can he do for us? Save us, exactly, good. So Jesus can save us, all right? Jesus is real. He's so real to me. And then verse 3, he saved my soul. So why is that important? Why is it important that Jesus save our soul? What do you think? Why do you think it's so important that Jesus save our soul? What does that mean? If Jesus saves your soul, he loves you. What else? Yep. You get to live with him forever. Living with, being with Jesus in the presence of God, in front of God. So a lot of the things, or a lot of things, but some of the things we do, like when we worship and sing and praise God, we can do that in front of God with Jesus, okay? All right. The song also says that Jesus makes us whole. That's W-H-O-L-E, so if you, parents, you can have to teach the difference in words that sound the same but are spelled the same. So he makes us whole. And you know, that's the only way that we get to be with God, right? That's the only way that we get to be with God, is if Jesus makes us whole. So being whole means that we get to have a relationship with God. So for now, I'm just going to leave it at this. Parents, you can go farther if your kids hear things that they don't understand I say. Me being made whole by Jesus means I get to have a relationship with God, and I get to be his child. All right? So kids, if you look at your moms and your dads and your grandparents, they're old, right? They're not children. But they are children, because we get to be God's child. I'm a child of God, even though I'm older. Have my own kids who are grown up, have a grandchild. I get to be a child of God. And so Jesus is the one that makes that possible. He makes me whole so I can do that. Jesus will take us there to be with God, who's so good to us. Okay, so if we know all of this, if we know God is good and Jesus is real and he saves my soul, what should we do? If we know all of these things, what should we do? Think about what the song says. What should we do? Praise God. Exactly. All right? So God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. He saved my soul and he made me whole. I praise his name. He's so good to me. So sometimes we kind of do God and Jesus together. Sometimes God separately, sometimes Jesus separately, or they can kind of be together. So when we praise his name, we can praise Jesus and we can praise God at the same time. Okay? So this is really a great song. It's a short song. It's easy to learn the words and remember the words. And I think it's a great thing to praise God because of all the good that he's done for us. It's a happy thing to do, and it should make you feel good about it. So it's a great song to like, and a lot of people like it. It's not kids. I know that sometimes our Bible class teachers will sing it with the younger kids in class. This is not a kiddie song. You know, we used to kind of scoff on singing night. Oh, somebody wants to lead Jesus Loves Me on singing night. That's the kids' song. No, this, you know, these are songs that we all like and should sing. So it's a great song to like. A lot of people like it. It's probably even hard to say why we like it. Why would anybody like this song? Because of the words? Because of the feelings? Because of the way that you can praise God and Jesus about it? But sometimes I like things just because I like them. You ever feel that way? Anybody ever just feel that way? I like this. Well, why do you like it? Well, I just like it. It makes me feel good. And I like hearing it. So, that to me, that makes perfect sense. And I can't wait to sing this song in a little bit. So we're going to sing this song in a little bit. I'll say a little bit so the kids don't. I was a kid, Ed Cook would get up to preach and he'd say, in just a few minutes, we're going to sing that song that's been selected. And I'm like, it's not going to be a few minutes, Ed.
One reason I like the song is besides the melody, emphasizing, just like you're doing, you could read this, God is so good, but think about the melody, it emphasizes specific words.
Sometimes I think when we sing it, we kind of sing it a little softly and tenderly. It's not like a march song or anything like that, so yeah, that's good.
And I remember Rick Leggett.
He likes it, yeah. Yeah. Okay, any other comments, Scott? sing that in a little bit, so everybody be ready for that. All right, let's move on to the next song, which is number 29 in the book. Number 29, which is "The Rock of My Heart." And you got to put the word "the" in front of it. I don't know how many times I've looked through the index for "Rock of My Heart," and I can't find it. I'm like, why would it not be in the index? It's "the." So actually, we had a couple of different people request this song to be part of the class. And now I've looked through this list, and I might miss somebody. So if I say so-and-so requested this, and I don't mention your name, I don't mind you pointing it out to me. But I'm certainly not overlooking anyone. But Travis and Peyton requested this song or put it down as a possibility. And this one's been a favorite of mine since we learned it several years ago. And I believe it says at the bottom that this is based on the Psalm 73 and verse 2. So, let's see. Toby, would you turn over to Psalm 73 and read verse 2 and then 21 through 28, which is what the author had at the bottom. So I'm going to share some thoughts that Travis and Peyton shared with me, and this is going to be good because I'm getting people sharing things with me, and I appreciate vulnerability. And I don't mean to expose or embarrass anyone, and I will try not to do that during this class. So, but remember the disclaimer: if you don't want me saying anything you told me, you better tell me. But I will handle it carefully. I promise. But Travis shared some things with me, and that they're not here, and I had forgotten they weren't going to be here, but anyway, he said it reminds him, the song reminds him of the psalmist and the Old Testament prophets who were suffering, but still trusted in God. If you remember reading through the Psalms and the, some things about Jeremiah and whomever you might think of as the prophets, you know, how they suffered. But they still trusted in God, and David's writings really point that out. Travis also pointed out that we make mistakes and have challenges as we try to serve God, that I forget who is there to fight for me. So sometimes when you get caught up in things, you forget. You know, you're not in this alone. When I say I'm using first person, I'm talking Travis here. The song makes me choke up because at times God and Christ are not the rock of my heart as they should be. They want to be, but sometimes we may not allow them to be. He quoted a part from the song, and he was doing this from memory. He said, when I was confused and embittered about things I did not understand, he recalls looking back on my past, realizing I was being too big for my britches. If you've never heard that phrase before, it's kind of like being too uppity, too, like you're too smart or too good for something. not realizing that God, the rock, was shaping me into the person I needed to be. So we do get confused sometimes, or we do get bitter about some things. He said, even though the tone puts me in a mood of lamentation and disappointment in myself, the last verse ends in victory. So that's important for him. I know that your counsel will guide me in wisdom, devotion, and love, and afterward you'll call me to glory to dwell in your presence above. He thinks of friends and family that are suffering as he sings this song and uses it as a prayer for them that they will view God as the rock of their hearts. And, you know, that families have illnesses. The Fredericks and others here were close to a family recently who lost a wife and a mother. We're reminded of this again as Lizzie emailed this afternoon about how fragile things are with conditions that people have and how tender and vulnerable life is. So we can use this song, as Travis suggests, as a prayer for those folks. And hopefully they'll view God as the rock of their hearts. And the author says to God in the song, I need nothing besides you. God in your life is the only thing you need. When all else fails or is gone or never even came, as long as you have God, that's all you need. So I appreciate Travis sharing that with me. I want to share what Peyton shared with me, and I'm just going to read it as a paragraph. I chose this song because it has been a great teacher for me in the past. I can think of several life circumstances where things were not going my way. In those instances, it really boiled down to me not understanding why the bad thing was happening or why the good thing seemed to be out of reach. This song taught me that life was a way of disappointing, that life has a way of disappointing, and that God is really all that I need. If I have Him as the rock of my heart, everything else will take care of itself. That doesn't mean that the trial will end in this life or that every situation will turn out positively for me while on earth. Regardless of what happens, if I keep God first, He will call me to glory. This song helps me to keep life in perspective and remember my foundational hope when all around is chaotic and confusing. When bad happens, God is the only way we make it through. When good seems far away, we have to remember that God is all-sufficient. So, excellent summation by Peyton on this song. As I was reading his comments, I thought, yeah, that really fits it well and kind of helps me think through that as well. So I really appreciate that succinct way of putting it. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard when life is dragging us down to remember this is temporary. Glory is what awaits. And that's what we should be looking for. And God is our rock. God is our support. God is our foundation. And the author in this song recognizes these things. So if you look at the song, you see what he recognizes. He couldn't have stood without Him. God's promise is His hope, and what promise would that be but glory that awaits us. God being near Him is His strength. Things that we can't control, things that we can't change or manipulate, things that are going to happen to us, regardless of what we might think or like or want. God can be near us and be our strength. At times, again, noting what the author is saying here, at times we can become bitter about life, what's happening to us, or what is happening in the world around us. You know, I think Mason pointed that out last Sunday. We weren't here, but we listened to the recording. I think that's where I got this from. Or no, it was the Sunday before that. The glory of God will not... it was either Sunday before or last one. The glory of God will not go away. So at times we can be caught up in those things, especially what's going on in the world around us. God will not leave you. He will hold your hand. You know, in this life, physically in this life with other people, sometimes we like to hold hands. Okay? I enjoyed holding hands with my kids when they were little. I don't really want to hold their hand now. It's bigger than mine and stronger than mine. It kind of weirds me out. But when they were little, I liked holding their hand. And sometimes it's necessary because you don't want them to run into the street or run off across the parking lot. Or you might be trying to guide them and, you know, say, you're gonna stay right here by me and behave. But they get to a point in time where they want to take off and run. Has your child, as you're holding their hand, ever jerked their hand away and, like, either to run off to go do what they want to do, or, you know, I don't really need you to hold my hand anymore. Or maybe spouses, you want to hold hands, but the other one doesn't. He or she might remove their hand from yours. Might be some from frustration or whatever, but have you ever jerked your hand away from someone? Maybe the example I gave is as the child or your significant other. But what it made me think of is that we might move our hand, but God's hand is still there. We have to choose to hold it. So if we jerk our hand away, we can still find his hand again. So I think of the wisdom and counsel of God. It talks about in here, verse 3, I know that your counsel will guide me in wisdom, devotion, and love. So I thought about wisdom. What scripture do you think of when you want to talk about wisdom? I went right to Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It also talks about the wisdom and counsel of God, devotion and love. I thought of 1 John 4:19. What do we really know about devotion and love? How do we know anything about devotion and love? I think of 1 John 4:19. Anybody know what that says? He loved us first. God is love. He loved us first. That's how we know what love is, how to love, how to appreciate it. And then he talks about being called to glory and dwelling with God. I personally, after thinking about the song as a whole and the support and the help and dwelling with the Lord forever, I thought of Psalm 23. So, Clayton, can you read Psalm 23 for us?
Restores my soul, and leads me in the path of right.
brings those things out. They can. There, you don't, he's not going to hide it from us, right? So, great. Anthony?
This song and the last one, the first one is called Truly God is Good. This is what it means to God is good.
Some of the songs, more simply put, and some of the songs, I don't want to compare one author to another and say one's better, but, you know, some are a little more poetic. Of course, you know, a lot of this language is taken straight from Scripture, and we have a lot of songs that are taken straight from Scripture, and those are great. So, what else? Anybody else have thoughts they want to share about this particular song? There's another song I just thought of that it's not, I don't think it's on our list at all, and I'm not sure if it's in our book, but this is not the title, but The Lifter of My Head, and that's from the Psalms. Those kinds of songs, you know, and that's what David said about God when he was under extreme duress. You know, God is the rock, he's the support, he's there, the lifter of my head. You know, in really difficult times, these are the things that encourage us the most, should be the things that encourage us the most. And I will freely admit that, you know, there's times in my life where I've been under such stress that I maybe went to a singing or a devotion or something like that, and these songs are being sung, and it's, you know, I can't sing because what's going on in my life has gripped me so hard that, you know, this is really reaches inside of you and grabs a hold of your insides. And those are defining moments in your life, and you should let that wash through you and over you and use it. It's very powerful. These words are very powerful. They come from Scripture, and then the authors use some poetic license or some forming of the phrases and things as they wanted to as well. But very good. Yeah, and Travis used the word disappointing or disappointed in himself. Yeah, I kind of feel that way. disappointed that I've allowed it to be that way, you know. So, but I think we're going to do that. we're not perfect, so we're going to have times like this. So, and a lot of times, also like Travis said, these songs will convict you because you've not been behaving right, or you've not been acting right, or had the right attitude. So. Okay. We're going to move on to the third song tonight, 313. So the song 313, I Could Not Do Without You, was suggested by Lana. And this song does have a very beautiful tune. And I think that's something that Lana really likes about it, is the tune, but obviously the words and the phrases. You know, I don't know what I would do without you, and phrases like that. So as I read comments from the individuals that shared things with me, you know, it kind of caused me to pause and think, and, you know, to be a little teary-eyed or a little emotional as I read what they shared. And and I would imagine they were feeling the same way when they shared those things with me. But so I want to take a look at some of the things. So sometimes you hear people say, I don't know what I do without you. And then of course the song says, you know, that's exactly what we ought to be saying to our Savior. So when it says, I don't know what I'd do without you, do what? I can't, or I could not do without you. What does that mean? What is the writer going to do? What is the do? Live life. I couldn't have the new life. I couldn't have the blessings. I couldn't get through what I need to get through if I didn't have the Savior. So if we examine the song, I think we get that answer. So the writer implies, and I think page flipped on me. So the writer's name is Frances Havergal. I think that's a woman. Am I right, Brian? Do you know? It is? Okay. Well, I know you know some of those things. So. I know C.E. Couchman is a gal. She did the tune, but Frances did the words. So so I was, in my notes, I'm referring to she, and I just didn't want to say the wrong pronoun there. So if we examine the song, you know, we get the answer. So the writer implies that she was lost and that she cannot stand alone. Sound familiar? She has no strength or goodness of her own. She has no wisdom. She's often weary and sighing. So this is one of those things. And if kids are paying attention, they're probably, what do you mean sigh? What is sighing? That was a sigh. But why do we do that? Why do we go? Why do we do that? You're tired, you could be weary, you could be a number of things. You could be aggravated. Given up. I'm done. And, you know, in the song it says, sighing replaces song. just feels like a bad spot to be in, doesn't it? And I know that was one of Lana's lines in the song that I think meant a lot to her. The author also says she doesn't know the way. And at some point she's going to die. And uses this metaphor of passing the river, which Lana also shared in her comments, that line of passing the river. And what does that mean? We're going to pass the river. Across the river. We've come to the river. What does that mean? Physical death? Okay. So, I was talking about France. So there are answers to the things the writer brings up about her condition, our condition. So as we sing this song, let's think about us too. So here some answers to the things that was brought up about her condition or our condition. There is a Savior of those that are lost. We've already talked about that, right? That's Jesus. Jesus saves us. He makes us whole so we can have a relationship with God. His blood was the redeeming factor. And we know that blood was shed on the cross. The cost was tremendous because it cost Jesus his life. And that blood he shed is the only hope and comfort. So in a world where one feels lost, out of place, and separate from God, the blood of Christ is the only hope. Jesus is near. He makes one strong and not weak as long as we lean on him. I thought of a scripture in Proverbs. When I see the word lean, what do you think of in Proverbs? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And I would say that's one of our memory verses. Not everybody in here gets that. Some of you do. So that was one of the memory verses that we drilled into our kids' heads. And those kids are now married with their own children, by the way. So that's what I thought of. The Lord leads the way. So going back to the song, what's in the song and the answers. The Lord leads the way. And remember what Thomas said. So the Lord leads the way. Well, the way to where? Where are we going? What's going on? You remember what Thomas said to him? So Jesus is trying to comfort his disciples because he's telling them, I'm going to go away. You're going to lose me. I'm going to leave. John 14. What did Thomas say? Because Jesus said, you know, I'll show you the way. And Thomas said, in John chapter 14 and verse 5, I'll turn over there and take a look at this. We'll actually read the first six verses. Don't be afraid, or let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So the Lord leads the way. And how do we know that way? We follow him. Verse 6. He's the way. The only way to be whole, the only way to be with God is to go with Jesus. And so, again, the thought about death in the song, even though death is coming for all of us, our Savior is near, and he's leading, and he's letting you know it's okay. It's okay. People pass in life, and we don't want them to go, whether they're very old or very young. But the great thing about it is Jesus is there, and it's going to be okay as long as they've gone with Jesus. And I think about those small children that have lost life. They're pure and they're innocent, and they'll be with God. So remember the apostles in the boat when the storm came up. So in the song, it says, but you will never leave me, and though the waves roll high, I know you will be near me and whisper, it is I. That was another part of the song that Lana pointed out to me. And that's a very reassuring thing as well. So if you go back a few chapters to John chapter 6, so you remember this, Jesus, His apostles or some of his disciples got in a boat. We're going to the other side. And in verse 16. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. And after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. And it had already become dark. And Jesus had not yet come to them. And the sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When therefore they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they beheld Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. And I think that's what the author's getting at in this song. Same way the disciples had it. The waves are rocking. The boat is rocking. I'm in fear for my life. And here's this figure walking on the water. It's okay. It's me. It'll be fine. So what does it mean by I could not do without you life? I could not do life. And I certainly can't make it to God without you. So what about this song grips you, makes you think or stirs you up? I hope it does. As you've looked at it, read it, maybe sung it in your head or sung it out loud before tonight. We're going to sing it here in a little bit. What about the song really gets to you or stirs you up? It might depend on your stage of life or your mood at the moment or who you're thinking about. Getting to the point where you don't want to sing and so you just sigh and feel burdened. Thinking about what lies ahead for you, for each of us. Jesus can and will fill the void or take the hurt and the worry from you. You just have to let those things be known. To a brother or sister or your spouse or whoever, and pray. If you pray and let your anxieties be known, and you share them with someone else that you know will help you, you can feel peace wash over you. And these things can be taken away from you. Not that the situation changes, not that you don't have hard work to do, but it's a lot easier to do it after that. He will let you know and remember that Jesus is at God's right hand. Romans 8:34. What is he doing at God's right hand for us? It's the I word. He's making intercession for us. Romans 8:34. That's a great feeling. So we'll wrap up. I don't know if anyone has any other comments about this song in particular.
Amazing how that happens.
Well, that was kind of, I know we did this last week, but this one, this week was a little different. This may evolve as we go. We'll see how it goes. But so I appreciate everybody's preparation and input, and I think we'll continue to do that mix of songs that the kids have picked and some other the grown-ups have picked and talk through those. So appreciate everybody's participation, and